Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show. Here as we experience a little bit of technical difficulties at the start, but welcome to the show. Sign Guy and QT with you as usual here on a Sunday afternoon. Real quick, before we jump into things, want to tell you that today you can find Bizarro Lucha happening in Indianapolis, Indiana. You can also find Blue Collar Wrestling, like usual, at the North Portland Eagles today. And I want to say thank you to Wrestle Club for having me last night. Absolutely incredible show there last night. Capacity crowded, a brand new venue for them. Went very, very well. But without further ado, I want to welcome our guest to the show today. And that is former member of Pure Dominance, Ryan Rude. Ryan, welcome to the show. First time on here, believe it or not.
Thanks for having me, my guy.
Sorry about the technical glitch, you know, technology and all.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Since it is your first time with us, though, that means you get started out with the first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
So I did some backyard stuff, unfortunately, back in high school. And then I had gotten stationed out in Washington through the Navy. And about a week previous, I was actually neighbors of Mitch Ferguson. I had gone to a TNA show and I was rocking a Ink t-shirt. And we were talking about wrestling, and he's like, well, hey, you know, my brother used to run a promotion. I used to ref for him. You have any interest in getting into the business? Definitely. So Mitch Ferguson was actually my induction into the business, and then Chef trained me, so...
Now, Chef is someone that has been around the Pacific Northwest wrestling scene for close to 20 years, if not just above that now. He has owned promotions. He's wrestled in the vast majority of the local promotions. Having Chef as your trainer, do you think that that opened the door a little bit more for you than if you'd gone to any of the other local schools at the time?
Yeah, a little bit, because with Chef also came teachings from Pimp, Dale Houston, and two of those are which, you know, are close personal friends of mine. I mean, Pimp was in my wedding party, and Dale was supposed to be, so, I mean, that friendship runs deep with them, but they also helped me, teach me quite a bit. I mean... If I had known about Buddy Wayne's academy, I might have went there, but, you know, it was just happened by luck, I guess.
Now, we mentioned that you were a member of Pure Dominance. You wrestled in singles. You wrestled in tag matches as part of Pure Dominance. You refereed quite a bit. You managed some. You did a little of everything in the business, really. What do you think led to you becoming so versatile in the wrestling industry?
It was mostly the willing to do anything. This has been a dream of mine ever since I was super little. You know, I wanted to do anything I wanted. Anything that I was able to do to help out the promotion and get me a little bit further.
Like I mentioned, you refereed quite a bit, and your neighbor Mitch Ferguson was a longtime referee. He just, in the last few weeks, made a comeback. Was Mitch someone that was also instrumental in helping you with that aspect of the business, or did that come slowly from Chef?
That actually came all from Mitch. Mitch was, you know, I kind of got threw into it. The first wrestling show I worked as a ref, I had no experience reffing. And before I got to the show, because Mitch wasn't going to be able to make it, he's like, stay to the left of the heel, and you can figure it out. So I just kind of got thrown in there. And then as time went, Mitch, you know, gave me pointers on how to become a better ref.
You also did, like I said, some managing for a brief period of time. What was it like transitioning into the management side of things?
I had a blast managing. You know, there were times where I was hurt and I wasn't able to work. So I still got out there. I was still able to further my character along. And I had a blast. It was a pretty simple transition for me.
Now, as I recall it, when you first started managing, you were on an episode of The Sign of the Times, episode 52, to my recollection. You were in negotiations during that very episode with Dash Venture Sullivan. Whatever happened to those negotiations?
They never really went forward. We couldn't get we couldn't come to terms with an agreement for me to manage Dash. It would have been a blast to manage Dash, but unfortunately things just didn't work out.
Can you tell us a little bit about the people that you did manage, and were there ever plans for you to go farther into the management before you had transitioned back into in-ring wrestling?
So I'm actually trying to remember who all I managed. A lot of it was pure dominance guys. Nothing really had gotten talked about me being more of a manager type. I mean, it wouldn't have been something that I was opposed to. But it was a lot of the time it was out there me supporting my brothers in pure dominance, which, you know, to give them a shout out, you know, they're back out there. Sonny and Chef are back out there tearing up the scene again. And I'm super proud of those guys.
Speaking of Sonny O'Mara, he has gone into the grappling division at Combat Pro Wrestling in Marysville, Washington. He has become something of a very accomplished grappler. That division, almost an amateur-style division within professional wrestling, it's very unique, is grappling something that you ever got into much yourself, or were you strictly professional wrestler?
I wrestled all throughout junior high and high school. You know, I wasn't, you know, the best, but, you know, I do have an amateur background. I have gone and trained with Havoc before on working that more grappling style of work. So, I mean, yeah, I do have a slight background in it.
Now, you mentioned Havoc. He is someone that has been around for 20 years now. He is reputed as one of the better trainers of professional wrestlers as well. He also trains in jiu-jitsu. He's getting a lot of opportunities this year with WWE, so he's still not only active in training people, not only active in the ring, he's actively getting work from the biggest promotion in the world. What was it like getting in there with somebody like Havoc that has such an extensive background as a trainer?
It was actually really amazing because the first time I went and trained with Havoc, it was a good core group of guys that I went and trained with there. Because it was Havoc, it was Hoss Tull, and Randy Zellers, and one of your former guests, Dave Hoffmeister.
The Hoff, yes.
So, it was a great group of guys to go and learn from. Because I think we all brought something a little different, and then Havoc just, you know, fine-tuned it. So it was nice.
One of the people that you had the opportunity to wrestle was an outsider of the Pacific Northwest. You had the chance to wrestle a few years ago, Max Steele from Alaska, before his retirement. What was it like getting to wrestle someone that was from out of the area, someone that you wouldn't normally come across like that?
Sarge, I had, in my personal opinion, I had a great match with Sarge. It was nice to work someone who I had never really worked before, and then, you know, be able to show the people in the Northwest, you know, some of that talent outside of, you know, Washington or Oregon.
Another person that you had the opportunity to wrestle, I believe it was in Oregon, was someone I once managed, Andrea the Giant. Obviously, Andrea the Giant, a female competitor. Did you have a lot of opportunities to wrestle intergender matches? And if so, was that something that you actually enjoyed doing?
The match with Andrea was down at Power Pit. I had fun with that match. I did do a couple intergender tag team matches up at SCW. The one that comes to mind, I forget who all was on the other team, but I know Sunny Days and MJ Payne were opponents of mine. And I had a blast wrestling that match.
Andrea also wrestled up here in Washington a good bit. One of the people she competed against was someone you know quite well, Ian Bear. She attempted to win the former SCW championship from him. Ian also recently retired from active wrestling for the time being. Did you get the chance to cross paths with Ian Bear very much in the ring?
I did. Actually, we had a decent run together. There was a match building up, and unfortunately, it never happened. Actually, me and Ian still have a little bit of unfinished business, and you know whether or not you know me and Ian lace up our boots again. It's one of those, I have unfinished business with him, and I'd like to finish that business.
Well, the word on the street, he is getting that itch once again, so if your knee responds to the surgery pretty well, I don't see why you couldn't be in there with him down the line.
Yeah, and it's something that I would really enjoy, because the couple offshoots I've worked with Ian, you know, we had really great chemistry out there, and it was, you know, I think the people were really into it, and they wanted to see an end to it. Well, eventually they will see an end to it.
Someone else that is no longer with us, sadly, here in the Northwest, was one of the all-time great independent wrestling managers, Dale Pierce. He passed away last fall, but he was in this area for the final few years of his life and always managed at a lot of the local shows. I know you were on many cards with him. What were some of your remembrances of Dale Pierce?
I met Dale a couple of times. Dale was a great guy. I didn't have too much interaction with him, but from the times that I did meet him and we talked, he gave me a lot of advice that I still take to this day, you know, about how to work a match, how to get the crowds behind you, stuff like that.
Obviously, you managed as well, but when you were wrestling, did you have an actual manager per se, or was it just other members of Pure Dominance that would go to the ring with you?
It was just other members of Pure Dominance that would go to the ring with me.
Now, being part of a faction is something that a lot of wrestlers enjoy. Some of them not so much a fan of being part of a faction. What were your feelings in being part of something like Pure Dominance, which at the time was a pretty large faction? There were several members of it.
Being a member of Pure Dominance, I still wear my Pure Dominance gear around town. It's one of those, I love being a member of Pure Dominance. It was like a brotherhood. You know, I'm still really close with a lot of the members of Pure Dominance, you know, former members. You know, I still talk to Rad every now and then. I talk to Chef all the time. As we were talking prior to starting this, I went and visited Dale yesterday. You know, another member of Pure Dominance. And it's great. It was great being a part of a faction that has such a long and storied history. I mean, Pure Dominance was around before SCW. Pure Dominance was running in when Chef was running his own promotion. So being a part of something that has such a long and storied history, it's just something amazing.
You referenced Chef's promotion. That was ICW. It ran for many, many years. He was partners with Diamond Tim Flowers at that time. Did you get a lot of experience in watching ICW shows? Did they ever show footage to you? Were you around to make it to some of the live shows, anything like that?
I wasn't around during the live shows because I got stationed out in Washington. In the 05-06 time frame, so, and I hadn't really heard of any independent wrestling around here until right around the time that I started on from Mitch. But you know, I did get a big box of, this is going old school, a VHS tapes of ICW shows from Chef that he had found in his storage unit. And I watched a lot of old ICW footage, and a lot of it was from when they were out at the temple.
Well, we've hit the part of the show that we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you more than likely came across in your career. The first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Let's do this.
All right. First name, Von Hess.
A good guy down in his heart.
Haas Toll.
Definitely a brother.
sunny days?
Not sure if I can swear on this, so I'm going to try and censor myself. Amazing woman.
J.D. Mason.
Innovator.
Meat.
Crazy man.
Wonderful Zach Winters.
Amazing friend.
Radical Ryan.
One of my best friends.
Lila Lodge.
Powerhouse.
Sarge Max Steel.
Good friend and another veteran.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, exactly.
And the final one, Dale Pierce.
Angel looking down on us all.
Now, in your career, you saw a lot of changes in the Northwest wrestling landscape. It went kind of on a up and down cycle where crowds were fairly healthy. Some where they were down quite a bit. Talent fluctuated quite a bit. Training schools would fluctuate. Number of promotions usually would alter a little bit. What do you think the current landscape of wrestling, looking at it now from someone who's been away from a little bit, is like as far as you can tell?
I think it's growing very healthy. I mean, you look at it and you've got, you know, WUW still running shows. You know, and from everything that I've seen from them, you know, they still pull a healthy crowd where they run at. Then you've got Northwest Pro, JD's promotion, still running shows, still running pretty strong after, you know, he's been in business 5 years or so. Then you've got, you know, CPW that has started up and they're doing great for themselves. Then you've got, you know, places like Defy, and Defy has just been tearing it up lately. And I've heard so many great things from people, from big stars who have come and worked Defy. Guys like MVP and Tommy Dreamer, who have nothing but great words to say about Defy Wrestling, and it's amazing. And then you've got 3-2-1 Battle and Wrestle Without a Cause. You know, I can't forget Wrestle Without a Cause. They're coming up on their one-year anniversary, and from what Max was saying, they're looking like they're going to run Angel of the Winds Arena for their one-year anniversary. You can't get very much bigger than that.
Definitely not within Everett, you can't.
So I honestly think that, you know, the wrestling business is growing quite a bit lately, and it's a great time to be a wrestling fan around here.
Absolutely. At this point in time, QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for a bit.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Ryan.
How's it going, QT? Long time no see, man.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I would like to personally apologize for you somehow being overlooked in our Turnbuckle Turmoil ranking the past couple of months.
It is completely okay.
What? Completely okay? Isn't there a twinge of resentment? After all, if you were ranked number one, you'd get that fruit pie. Oh, okay. Well, to your knowledge, and I can't, I haven't access to my archives. Did Sergeant Max Steele ever win the coveted number one ranking, and that's a fruit pie? You remember that?
I do.
Oh, okay. I guess I just forgot to ship a fruit pie up to Alaska. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
All right. Well, Ryan, I'd like to expand on Sign Guys Word Association, if I may. Are you ready for round two?
I am.
All right. How about Randy Zellers?
Barrel of Laughs.
Okay, Barrel of Laughs, very good. How about Aaron Bolo?
Aaron Bolo is a wrestling god.
Big Jacob. Big Jacob.
You there, QT?
Yes. How about Big Vicious?
Well, Big Vicious, I have only gotten a chance to meet Big Vicious a couple times, but a good guy from what I've seen, from when I've met him.
Oh, okay. All right. Then you probably have not met Bob the Sock Puppet, have you? The Sock Puppet.
I have not.
Oh, okay. Can you just throw out a word for his sock puppet?
Let's go interesting.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Very good. Okay. How about Coach Mike Jones?
Coach is a good guy.
Okay. Good guy. Okay. And the last one, Christopher Ryzik.
Ideal perfectionist.
Okay. Did you yourself ever have a chance to steal his mirror while he was wrestling?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, Ryan,
I had thought about it, doing it, you know, as a good rib, but, you know, I never went for it.
Wow. Now, have you seen his new manager that he recently took on, Cat Galore?
Yes, I have. It looks like that's a killer combo right there.
Oh, okay, killer combo. I should have included that in word association. Yes, Cat Galore. Okay. Well, Ryan, Sign Guy mentioned intergender matches earlier in the interview. With such competitors as MJ Payne and Sunny Days, have you seen relative newcomer Sarah Irene, who has done battle with Sunny Days recently? Sarah Irene.
I have. Actually, I was helping train Sarah when Sarah was a member of Pure Dominant.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
So,
well,
me and Sarah go back quite a ways.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. All right. Well, did you have a chance to see Sign of the Times episode 350 where Sarah Irene is interviewed at La Problemita's? In my opinion, this was a pivotal moment in Sign Guy's Sign of the Times history.
I have not seen that episode, no.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Sign Guy will be able to send you a clip, I believe, if he has some time. Yes. Episode 350. Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, did you have a chance to meet Roddy Piper when he was working with Portland Wrestling Uncut on or about 2005, 2006?
Unfortunately, no, I did not. That would have been a great honor to meet Piper, but I did not get the opportunity. You know, hearing stories from Pat while he was down there working, and, you know, the praise that Piper would give Pat. I mean, Pat deserves everything that he has. Pat's a hell of a worker, and, you know, the praise that Piper would give him while he was down at Portland Uncut was just amazing.
Yes, I managed to make it to a Portland Wrestling Uncut taping in episode down there live. That was very good. Yes.
Okay.
Well, Ryan, I saw your YouTube video, Ryan Rude versus Steve Rush, and this match was sanctioned by Northwest Pro Wrestling. What struck me most about the beginning of the match is the volume of both yours and Steve's entrance music. That's on the black cowboy hat that Steve Rush wore. After Steve's music died down, the noise in the venue went from about 100 decibels to near church quiet during a bowling sermon. My question is, were you also from Longview, Washington, like Smooth Steve?
Now, what was the last part of that? I did not catch that, QT.
Oh, were you also from Longview, Washington, like Smooth Steve Rush? That really has nothing to do with the decibel volumes that I just mentioned.
No, I am billed from Cleveland, Ohio. I born and raised around Cleveland, so I still represent home.
Oh, well, now, Ryan, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, inform me that you went to Edgewood High School in Ohio and that your mascot is the Edgewood Indian Warrior.
It is.
Oh, okay. I have pretty good contact in Shelton, Washington. That's where I'm getting at. Yes. Okay. Well, Ryan, I looked at the Edgewood High School lunch menu on the school's website, and on May 24th, this was a Friday before Memorial Day, the lunch staff served stuffed crust pizza, summer salad, broccoli bite, cucumber and cherry tomato with dip, assorted fruit juices, and peaches. And I'd like to inform blue-collar wrestler Lone Star that I'm not making this up. It's on the Edgewood website. Is this kind of like your daily diet, what they served at Edgewood High School?
It kind of was. They had, you know, your standard lunch menu, and then they always had pizza and then salads. So it was more of a grab a slice of pizza, a big salad, and some Powerade. That was my standard lunch for high school.
Wow. All right. Okay. I'm sure you pretty much ate whatever they offered when you were wrestling for Edgewood High School. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your weight was when you were a freshman wrestling for the Edgewood Indian Warriors?
I was wrestling 215.
As a freshman?
As a freshman. I was a big boy, you know, my entire life. And my senior year, I was wrestling heavyweight. Actually, I had to drop some weight to make the weigh-ins. And then after I graduated, I dropped down to less than 200 pounds before I joined the Navy.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, at that lighter weight, did you feel a lot less pressure on your lower back and knees?
A little bit. But my body had gotten so accustomed to carrying that heavy weight. It just made me a little bit faster.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, as a senior, did you participate in the state wrestling match?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can you give us your overall ballpark figure of what your overall high school record was.
Actually, I didn't wrestle that much through the matches. I really wasn't all about that. It was mostly helping the guys get better on the practice squad because I didn't want to travel. So it was mostly I would show up to practice, wrestle at practice, and help the guys get better. And then I didn't want to go travel.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Ryan, I did some digging up, and I found out that these famous celebrities had birthdays on April 16th, like you did. They include Charlie Chaplin, Martin Lawrence, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, rapper 600 Breezy, rapper Bandit Gang Marco, Bill Belichick, pioneer aviator Wilbur Wright, MMA fighter Nate Diaz, and Vicky Guerrero. They had the same birthday that you did. Yes.
It's kind
There's
of
really no
I've heard of most of them. Not so much the rappers, but pretty much everyone else, yeah.
Oh, okay. I myself have a birthday in common with Terry Bradshaw, and I was born on the same day as Eric Dickerson, who rushed for 2,105 yards in 1984. Same day, same year, Eric Dickerson.
Oh, wow. Being a Cleveland Browns fan, that Terry Bradshaw one is kind of like, I don't know if I would be too happy about that one.
Oh, well, now you have now Cleveland will go about 8-8 or 9-7 this year with Baker Mayfield. That's my prediction, my wrestling prediction.
I'm saying we go 10-6.
Wow, 10-6. Okay, all right. I think that Ryan, this is the first NFL prediction made on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yet you were the first one. It's quite the honor. Okay, 10-6, Cleveland. I'm writing that down. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Ryan, Smooth Steve Rush comes from the mean streets of Longview, Washington. The city library was built in the 1920s, and there is a locomotive on display beside it that was used for hauling timber out of the woods to the lumber mills. There is also the Nutty Narrows Bridge near the library. This is a Golden Gate-like bridge over the street near the library for the squirrels so they don't get run over by the cars. My question is, did you factor in Smooth Steve Rush's gritty urban environment living as a factor in your match?
I did not.
Well,
I had seen Steve Rush work at SCW, he was always one that I kept my eye on because I figured, you know, at some point a time would come where I would have to go toe-to-toe with him, so...
Oh, all right. I only mentioned his gritty urban environment that he used to live in because this was a town where even the vicious street gang, the Vente Lattes, were known to have roamed in 1977, the Vente Lattes.
Wow.
Yes. A street gang named after an extra large coffee. Yes. I think somehow that their DNA got into Smooth Steve Rush somehow. Okay.
Possibly.
All right. Well, Ryan, I also saw the YouTube video where you wrestled Andrea the Giantess on November 24th, 2013 in Roseburg, Oregon. And she was not raised on the mean streets of Longview like Smooth Steve Rush. However, she was about 5 inches taller than Steve and an estimated 80 pounds heavier. How was your offensive game plan against Andrea different than your offensive game plan against Smooth Steve Rush?
Well, against Andre the Giant, it was like that Rey Mysterio versus Big Show kind of mentality, because Andre is taller than I am. And, you know, it's just one of those try and hit and dodge. But, you know, unfortunately that didn't work out for me. She caught me and then put a hurting on me.
Well, to be fair, she puts a hurting on most everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. Well, Ryan, at the 3 minute and 35 second mark of the match, Andrea and yourself locked up in the middle of the ring, and in a show of strength, she shoved you back all the way into the turnbuckles, and then she rammed her shoulder into your midsection. She then landed two lefts and two rights to your midsection and then raked your eyes. At the moment that the eye rake was complete, did you have a fleeting second where you thought you were in the ring with Big Van Vader?
It was definitely like, when did I step into the ring with this grizzly bear? Just by how she was throwing me around. But, Big Van Vader is a great comparison for that.
Well, now, are you familiar with Northwest wrestler Kodiak Jack?
I have seen some of Kodiak Jack's work, yes.
How do you think of Kodiak Jack, Andrea the Giantess, intergender tag team team would do? Kodiak Jack and Andrea the Giant.
That's just a steamroller is what that is.
Yes.
I don't foresee anyone being able to stand up to them.
Yeah, that would be a very formidable, formidable team. Personally, I would like to see Kodiak Jack and a special tag team with Andrea the Giant match up with this Northwest icon, Darth Carter. What do you think of Darth Carter's work?
Darth Carter is one of those guys who I've seen a couple times. I know him and Sign Guy has some heat. But, you know, I kind of got to side with Sign Guy on this one, you know. Darth Carter can be a real jerk sometimes.
Oh, well, I have never really personally spoke with Darth Carter, someday I'd like to ask him some of these questions. He's kind of a silent fellow. However, I think in those legs of his, he has the capability, if given the opportunity, I think, to nearly slam Kodiak Jack in a body slam. That's my opinion.
Wow, that would be fairly impressive to see.
Yes, and I hope one day that Kodiak Jack is on the sign of the times. That would be huge. Also, that'd be big. In that match with Andrea the Giant, you tried to pick her up for a said body slam at the 5 minute and 45 second mark, but you missed getting her off her feet. However, she was successful in getting you off your feet for a successful slam at the 5:52 mark. My question is, was this the match that inspired you to concentrate slightly less on cardio and slightly more on powerlifting? Was this a catalyst?
Yeah, it actually was. After that match, I realized, I was like, I'm not a cardio machine. I can't go out and wrestle, you know, hour matches, you know, like Dean Malenko. I can't be as fast as him. I just got to work on my power and hopefully, you know, get the match over in, you know, 5 minutes.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Ryan, you had two roundhouse kicks to her left hamstring that brought her to her knees at the 6-minute and 50-second mark. My question is, did you learn these MMA kicks while in the company of Pure Dominance?
No, I did not. I actually had some karate background when I was very young, and at that point, my mind was starting to race. I was like, how am I going to get her down? And the only thing that kind of, you know, muscle memory is take the legs out. And I went back to my old karate history and just hopefully those kicks would at least slow her down a little bit.
Well, yeah, and they seem to, yes. That was like a turning point in the match from her offensive onslaught. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, can we ask what your rate was in the Navy, and were you an honorary shellback?
I am an honorary shellback. I gained that one of my last runs aboard the USS Ohio. But I managed to stay right around 220 almost my entire Navy career.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now you mentioned the Ohio. That was a submarine, if I'm not mistaken. How was the chow on the submarine? And could Chef have been a good?
Chef would have been an amazing addition to that submarine, because let me tell you, sometimes the food was great, sometimes the food was just absolutely horrible.
Oh, okay, so that's why you probably never went above 220 on a submarine.
Pretty much.
Are you saying that near the end of the patrol that that the food stores were slightly low and you had to subsist on powdered eggs and powdered milk?
Powdered eggs started about halfway through the run because we would run out of eggs or they would go bad. But we didn't really have so much powdered milk. It was a lot of UHT. So basically vanilla-flavored Yoo-Hoo, which isn't all that great.
Oh, okay. And for all you Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, the Coast Guard and the Navy sails a lot of times with UHT milk, which is ultra-high temperature milk. It was pasteurized, and it can stay pretty much without refrigeration for short periods of time without refrigeration. Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, where did you get your $600 suit that you wore in the Sign of the Times video with Dash Venture number 52?
That suit was from Men's Warehouse. Yeah, they're right with their slogan, you're going to like the way you look, because I thought I looked pretty good in that.
Well, I got to say, Dash Venture was pretty impressed by that suit. Yes, pretty impressed.
And so was Lila. Lila seemed to be impressed also.
Okay. All right. Well, now, Ryan, why do you think there isn't a Northwest wrestler called the honorary shellback?
I have only met a few wrestlers that have served in the Navy and then gone on to wrestle. I mean, there was Rad. There was Psycho Sailor and myself. I haven't really come across very many wrestlers who are also who were sailors. So I think it's kind of slim pickings there.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your rate in the Navy was?
I was a machinist mate on submarines. I basically dealt with all the hydraulics, all the air systems, oxygen systems, atmosphere control, you name it, I did it, including all the sewage treatment.
Uh-oh, sewage treatment, yes. Oh, okay. Well, what was the longest period you were underway with underwater without surfacing?
Right around 60 days or so.
Do you believe your 60 days without surfacing and your Navy life in general helped your wrestling ability in any way?
It made me a lot more hungrier, honestly. I would go stir crazy and, you know, binge watch wrestling while I was underway, because it's really all you have to do. There's a lot of free time, so it's watch what you can. And a lot of it was, I watched a lot of wrestling. I learned, I wanted it more.
Oh, okay. Was there ever a T-bone steak day underway, like once a patrol?
No, what was that? I'm sorry.
Was there ever a T-bone steak day underway while on patrol? T-bone steak.
No, there wasn't.
No. Okay, they just gave you a powdered milk in the shape of a T-bone steak. Am I correct?
It probably was better than whatever they were serving, so.
Wow. Holy smokes. Okay. Well, Ryan, at this time, I'm going to give it back over to Stein Guy, and we will try to get you into the rankings on a more steady basis, the Turnbuckle Turmoil rankings.
I appreciate that.
And we will also try to send you Sign of the Times episode 350 with Sarah Irene live from La Problemitas. We'll try to get you that.
I appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Ryan, we got a few minutes left on the show, and if there's anything at all today you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you might want to promote, social medias, merchandising, your favorite used car lot, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Honestly, I really don't have much. I've been outside the wrestling world for, it's been 2 years now. I really don't have any merchandise left, but, you know, be on the lookout, because I got a feeling once this knee gets healed up, I'm going to be stepping back inside that wrestling ring and taking on all comers.
All right. Well, hopefully I will see you at a show near me sometime in the near future. I wish you continued success getting that knee healthy. And I'm sure we'll cross paths at some point.
Yeah, definitely. I might actually be seeing you here sooner than you think.
Sounds like a plan to me. I look forward to that. Fans, jump on your YouTubes, look up Ryan Rude matches. I think you will enjoy them. And we will be back with you next week, next Friday afternoon. We got commentary day coming to the show. Definitely join us then, and we'll talk to you next week.